From Radio Sausalito in beautiful Sausalito, California, I'm Mitchell Field, and you are on the field trip. Welcome to The Field Trip, a few minutes of conversation each week with some of the most interesting people in the Bay Area and Marin County. I talk to artists and writers, actors, directors, musicians, some of the people who make the Bay Area a fun and a fabulous place to live. So let's get right to it. On this week's Field Trip, part two of my interview with Stacy Ross, well-known Bay Area actor who is currently appearing in Wilder Times at the Aurora Theater in Berkeley. Part one of my interview is on the archive at RadioSausalito.org if you missed it. Another show that I really like, which was, again, a contrasting performance for you, with a couple of people who I've also had on the show, Jim Carpenter, and you were directed by John Tracy. It was Linda McLean's play Any Given Day.
Yes. A different actor was cast in my role, and then she got an offer to go out of town, and so left. And so they re-auditioned, and I was called in, which I hadn't been called in the first time around. So it was very fluky, but I have to say, hands down, my favorite work experience of the last several years. We had Linda McLean in the room with us the whole time. She's a wonderful, funny Glaswegian. It's great to actually work with Jim. Usually we're in big casts together and hardly speak to each other. So it was great to just do a one-on-one with him and actually get to act with him. And John Tracy, I have to say, is one of the best directors I have ever worked with. He's smart. He's incredibly, unendingly inventive, and a sweet man, and creates the atmosphere that you really need to do a play that puts you in the vulnerable places that Any Given Day does.
This character Jackie that you play, the guilt-ridden, she's sort of a heartbroken character. It was fabulous.
Yeah, she was. It was a really a wonderful opportunity to play somebody who's very strong, and beneath that strength, so close to the like that brittle shell of her strength, is this incredible pain and vulnerability that she just deals with every day, like we do, you know, like people do. Yeah. It was also my first time at the Magic, which I have to say was great fun. In all my years, I'd never done an actual play there, so it was sort of a really flukish turn of events that turned out to be one of the most satisfying experiences I've had in years.
Well, as an audience member, I thought so too. And then you got to throw all of those emotions from all of those shows together when you did Titus Andronicus with Jim Carpenter over at California Shakes, right?
Yes. Right. But once again, that's one of those shows that Jimmy and I are both in, and we have these sweet roles, but we actually never speak to each other. You know, we had one scene together, basically, where we had any real text with each other. You know, so they're the two sort of forces of that play, but they have very little stage time together. But yeah, I have to say, it is always fun to play a character who, you know, just goes all out in mayhem.
Over the top?
You know, yeah. I mean, it's horrific, but fantastic. You know, you just, that's what plays are for.
It is. Well, so let me ask you this about, you know, I mean, I wouldn't have imagined that an actress, I never know whether to call people an actor or an actress. I always say actor. Is that good?
I always say actor, too. For me, it was, why should I ace myself out of two-thirds of the roles that are written by implying I can only play female roles, you know? Because a lot of roles aren't gender roles. If you say actress, it sort of implies you'll only play women. But also, frankly, I just don't like the sound of the word. I don't know why. I used to think it sounded, you know, just kind of weak. And then Lillian Groag said to me, oh, I said, the diminutive, it's weak. And she said, really? Sorceress. Lioness. And I was like, okay, you have a point.
Got it.
Completely. But I've always just said actor. I'm just more comfortable describing myself that way.
So let me ask you this. I'm amazed that an actor, well-known like yourself, would have to audition. Tell me about that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Most of us audition for everything. Once in a while, somebody calls up and says, hey, I'd really like you to do this. But that's very rare. Most of us audition for what we get. I would say, like, for the company members at ACT, that's probably, you know, that's not the case.
Sure.
You know. But for the rest of us, yeah, yeah. Every once in a while, somebody just calls and offers something, but it's very rare. Very rare for me. That may happen more for others. I don't know. No, it's a constant sort of reproving, or yes, I can bend into that, or, you know, with directors you've never worked with before, it's especially understandable, because they don't know how are you going to know if you have any communication level with this actor, or if you have any sort of chemistry going on. It is odd when you've worked with somebody five times and they ask you to come in and read again. That can be a little wearying. But, you know, once again, that's part of their job, too, to look at everybody in context. What do you do with this script? How do you work with this actor? You know, because often, not always, but sometimes, you do get to audition with other actors who are also being considered, which is what happened with Long Christmas Dinner, by the way. We read with each other. Because often in auditions, they have readers, people who are not going to be in the play. And sometimes it's an actor they've hired for the day, and sometimes, most often, it's, you know,
the stage manager,
the casting person's assistant.
Sure.
Yeah, something like somebody who's not actually an actor. So it's nice to work. It's nice to read with other actors, especially if those are actors who are actually auditioning as well, because then you know that the director is looking at chemistry and picture and, you know, the possibility of these two actors in this production, or three or four, whatever, you know. But yes, I audition for, yeah, everything. Everything I've gotten, almost.
Well, let me ask you a bit about your connection with the Symmetry Theatre. I had the lovely young Danielle Levin on the show when she did Emily a few months, 6 months ago or so.
Yes, isn't she fantastic? She
absolutely
was great,
brilliant.
Matt.
Wonderful. Tell me about Symmetry a little
Symmetry
bit.
Symmetry came around a couple years ago, and Symmetry exists on the premise that they're looking for symmetry in casting, which means, you know, we'd like there to be at least as many women in a production as there are men. Because it really is 2 or 3 to 1 out there.
Yeah.
If you look at plays that are being done right now. So Symmetry exists, you know, with the aim of trying to level that playing field. And they asked me to join last spring, and I said, okay, I've never been a part of a startup company. I'll give it a go. So yeah, we're a young, struggling company looking to level the playing field for women, which is important. It has to start somewhere, and other companies have done things like it. Women's Will is, you know, dedicated to doing shows with all women, which has its place and its growth, and shows you just another way that a story can be told.
Company's doing good work, I think. I really enjoy most of the stuff they do there.
Yeah.
Well, what's up next for you?
What's next? I don't know. Cross your fingers. Perhaps something will come.
You know, I love that. I mean, you know, I talk to so many actors, and it seems to me that there are a lot of people these days who are being laid off of their jobs, you know, people who are unemployed, and they're feeling that vulnerability, of course, but they may not realize that actors really... A big part of acting is the willingness to be vulnerable. You never know where your next job is coming from, and you're constantly auditioning. It's as though a regular person had to go and audition for their new job at the post office or whatever every couple of months.
Right.
And so
yes.
Talk about that vulnerability and that willingness to do that. What is it that allows you to go there?
You know, I'm so used to it now, I'm not really sure, although part of me just does yearn for a normal, everyday job. The structure of it might be healthier, a better way to live. I think the idea of being vulnerable on stage is pretty attractive. There's a certain freedom to it. Being vulnerable to everything that buffets you around in life is a little less attractive, but I think a lot of us don't overthink it, because that is the life. You fall in love with this one thing, and if you're allowed to do it, if you're willing to live a certain lifestyle, mostly, you know?
Yes. I don't know if the public does know that.
I don't think so. I don't think they realize how little we're paid either. You know, I don't think people go to ACT or Berkeley Rep or the Aurora and realize just what this person's life is. I think maybe they think of it more along the lines of a TV actor with steady employment. I think a lot of people who go to theater often have an idea, but even then, it seems to be something that's just not widely known or, cared about much. Yeah, it's a weird way to live. I wouldn't recommend it for everybody, but I also think that if you want to act, you should get out and do it. You know, you should don't let it be one of those things that you didn't try. You know, when I taught in graduate school, that's what I would tell my class. You know, it's a tough world and it's a tough life. But if you really love this, give it a go. Don't, treat yourself. It's your life. You know, so do what you got to do. Although, I'm at that point where I'm much less busy than I used to be because casting for women my age it gets dicey. There's just not many roles. So suddenly you're at the large end of the megaphone looking down at that small hole. You know, it's tunnel vision. So there's a part of me that thought, that now thinks, maybe a little less vulnerability would have been better.
Well, you're kind of right in the middle, not old enough for the old roles. In the middle, there are less roles, right?
Yes, quite. Quite a few less. We'll see how it goes. Although, new plays, it's all about the new plays.
Exactly.
And I do find that I've been auditioning for women in their mid-50s quite a lot, so that is heartening. So that perhaps by the time I'm in my mid-50s, there will be even more of those plays out there. You know, good, strong plays that include women. You know, we're becoming artistically, creatively, the whole theatrical world is becoming more aware of the fact that, women's stories can be told too. People will come and see them. You know, they are interested. In fact, the main audience for theater is the middle-aged white lady.
Is that right?
That's the bulk of the theatrical audience. Sure. I mean, look around you. Anytime you're in one of these theaters, women outnumber the men in the audience, sort of the same way that inversely the men do the women on stage.
The men do the women on stage, especially in Shakespeare. There aren't really that many roles for women in Shakespeare, are there?
Right. And yet, Shakespeare, especially since it's rarely done in the context in which Shakespeare seemed to write it, so many of those roles could be played by women, and frequently are. Not frequently enough, but that's changing more and more, which I think is fantastic, which is another reason I call myself an actor. I always used to tell people when I was in my 20s, I can stand in the back and hold a spear just as well as any guy. I'm 5'9". They put that costume on me, I'll look just as much like a soldier as Jim over there, you know? That never really flew, but I still believe it's true.
Well, you can see Stacey Ross in Wilder Times as the Aurora Theatre in Berkeley continues its 21st season through December 9. For tickets or more information, visit auroratheatre.org. And Stacey, continued success to you in your career and with Wilder Times.
Thank you so much.
And thanks for taking us on a field trip today.
Thank you. Great time.
That's Stacey Ross, everyone. Well, thanks for joining me today on The Field Trip. I welcome your views and comments on the show, as well as your suggestions for future guests. My email address is mitchellfield@radiosausalito.org. The theme music you hear behind me is the tune Superjet, with the fabulous Marin Sax man Noel Jukes up front. It's from the recording The Noel Jukes Quartet featuring Matt Clark. Please remember that The Field Trip can be heard Wednesdays at the top of every hour at 1610 on your AM radio dial in Southern Marin, countywide on Wednesdays, at noon on Comcast Cable Channel 26, on your computer anytime at radiosausalito.org, or 24 hours a day as a free podcast from the iTunes Store. If you liked today's show, please tell your friends, and if you didn't, well, please tell your enemies. So till next time, this is Mitchell Field saying goodbye, good luck, and see you next week.